and happy Tuesday, March 31st. My name is Lynn, and JR, my co-host, and I would like to welcome you to the first airing of the Honoring Hour. You've just finished hearing the music of Dana Agnolini's song, One Light at a Time, and I'd like to thank him very much for allowing us to use that music. Our topic today is on gratitude, and I'd like to start off by saying thank you to JR for hosting the show with me. How are you doing this morning, JR?
I'm awesome, Lynn, and I'm actually very honored that so many people have been asking about the show and even dropping by the website and calling in and emailing for information and stuff. I mean, it's just really awesome the interest that's out there for shows like this, you know. And, while I'm thinking of it, if you haven't had the chance to log in and start blogging in any questions or just to say hi, go ahead and we don't bite. Well, not on the first date anyway. Now, actually, before we go into the topic for today, we'd like to let you know what the Honoring Hour will be about. And myself personally, I believe that all paths lead to the one source or spirit or God or however you refer to that universal life force in your life, and feel that the Honoring Hour should be a community that actually reflects that for all people, you know, reflects that truth. And it's our, you know, I believe it's our desire to create and put in place a community or resource that is there to support people in their development in finding and pursuing their personal truth and freedom from whatever it is they see as chaos or the life, you know, a life of drama, whatever it is, you know, finding their passion and life purpose, freely giving the tools and information to all so as to empower them and helping them to be the co-creators they're meant to be here in life. And, you know, and that's pretty much, you know, where I sit with the type of show I would really like to see the Honoring Hour to be. And I look forward to hearing what any of you would like to email in or give us ideas on what you would like to see in a community. How about you, Lynn?
Yeah, you know, when JR and I were first talking about this show and how to put it together, one of the things that I had for years now I've wanted to do was be able to offer a venue that let people find tools that they needed to make change. I know that I've been doing a lot of change over my life the past 10 years and really just, you know, constantly looking for ways to do that. And when I came across this Blog Talk Radio internet connection, I just found that this was just a wonderful tool and thought that this show would be great. A great way to just get some information out there, topics that we were interested in, that we could share, you know, a way to get feedback from listeners and new topics that we could go on. So one of the things that I really want to make clear about the Honoring Hour is, you know, it is an hour that we are honoring each other. It's an hour that we're really bringing together a lot of different ideas and perspectives. So this is not just about one way of doing things or a couple of way of doing things. This is to broaden our horizons and to look at things from different perspectives, because that's really, in my mind, what brings everybody into that oneness consciousness. So, you know, we've got some good shows planned. We hope to hear a lot more information back from you all, the listeners, because this is a show for you. This show is about the listener. We want your feedback. We want to know what you want to hear about. We want to know how you feel about what you're hearing. We've got a website called www.thehonoringhour.com where we're going to keep it as updated as we possibly can. We're grassroots, so JR and I are kind of doing everything on our own and learning on our own. But, you know, we're going to do the best we can, and the more we practice, the better we're going to get at it. So help keep us in practice. Some of the shows that we have coming up, I just want to let you know about. Next Tuesday, April 7th, we're going to do a topic called the Master Cleanse. And we have got an incredible speaker, Tom Wallison, who wrote a book called The Complete Master Cleanse. And it is a step-by-step guide to maximizing the benefits of the lemonade diet. A lot of people are hearing this buzz about the lemonade diet because a lot of the stars out in Hollywood are using it to lose weight, but it's actually called the Master Cleanse, and Tom Wallison has used it and has experience in it for 30 years. He studied with Stanley Burroughs, the man who developed the Master Cleanse and really has a wealth of information. He's going to be here to talk about it, to answer your questions, and we are going to be doing a cleanse starting that following Saturday. So we invite you all to do that with us, and Tom has graciously agreed to answer any questions and be available for a little bit before he has to go out of the country on some engagements that he has. He is planning to be available to us if we have questions. After that, we're going to just do a quick check-in and follow-up. We'll be coming off of the Master Cleanse, and we're going to talk about that and the people, the experiences that you had. May 5th, we're going to have Susie Crowes on talking about Kombucha, and if you've never heard about that, that's going to be a wonderful thing. It's a fantastic healing property. It's called a Kombucha mushroom, although I don't think it's actually a mushroom. Hopefully, Susie will be able to explore that a little bit more with us. On May 19th, we're going to have Thelma Smith. She wrote a book called The Parable of the Mayfly. It's a book about faith, and I'm really looking forward to talking with her. Thelma's got a wealth of information out there. Later on in June, we're going to have someone here about rolfing. Anne Marie Gallant is an incredible rolfer, and she's agreed to speak with us. We've lined up some people that do flower essences, essential oils, and all kinds of different topics, gardening, you know, how to eat stress-free, just a lot of wonderful things we've got lined up, and we're just finalizing the dates. Dana Agnellini, whose song and music you heard at the beginning of this, is going to come on. He's been featured in a book, Living the Law of Attraction, so we're going to be talking to him. So those are just some of the things that we've got planned. And we hope that you all would be willing to join us. We're really, really excited to share this with you. So let's just go ahead and get back to our topic today. Our topic is gratitude, and I think that subject in and of itself has a whole variety of perspectives and wealth of information.
You know, Lynn, I was just thinking of something that Meister Eckhart had said. He's actually the German philosopher that many people know about. And he was quoted in saying that if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it would be enough. You know, and if you can wake up in the morning and just think of the thankfulness in your life and the abundance that we have in gratitude around us that we shutter ourselves off to every day, would make a world of difference.
Right.
You know, I was going across my desk the other day, and I came across a letter that I had gotten. It was from Neil Donald Walsh. And in the letter, he was discussing, you know, speaking of first thing in the morning, he was discussing his routine in the morning, and he gave some simple steps that he goes through to start off and practice gratitude in his life. And I'd actually like to go over a couple of those points. And what he does is he, what's it say here? He says, well, it's good for me to, he begins his day with gratitude. He actually, you know, he hops in the shower, you know, and in the shower he breaks into song. Everything's Going My Way is usually one of the songs that he's singing. And then, you know, when he's getting to the mirror to shave and comb his hair, he just breaks open with a smile. That's right, he says, I throw my big smile at myself. Do you know that you're physically unable to hold on to negative energy of any kind if you smile?
I did
smiling.
That this morning.
Huh?
I did that this morning. I went into the bathroom as soon as I woke up, and I walked into the bathroom, and I remembered reading that you had sent me. So I made sure as soon as I saw the mirror, that's the first thing I did.
Yeah.
And it works.
There you go. He says it just smiling disintegrates, you know, all of the negative.
Right.
It's just, it's impossible. I mean, and do you know it's impossible to even remain grouchy if you sing? Singing disallows it. You cannot express true anger when you are expressing true gratitude because the two are mutually exclusive.
I'm going to remember that and remind my husband of that the next time I'm singing off key. I'm telling him I'm just being gratuitous.
Yeah, he calls it his five, you know, point step method. And he says to use this little formula just to start off the day with a mindset that'll change, you know, make changes and that will occur in the hours that will follow after. You know, kind of like the old Zen saying, you know, the way you begin your morning is the way you'll end your day.
Hmm.
Yeah, he says his 5-step formula is gratitude. You know, just kind of set in that gratitude for a few minutes. You know, sing a song or turn on the radio for a happy song, a smile. Sacred nourishment, and what he meant by sacred nourishment was is he went into maybe, you know, kind of just journaling in the morning, you know, a gratitude journal or write something about spirit or God or love, you know, in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness. He got into forgiveness about, you know, forgiving and releasing others, you know, because you can't be real grateful and live in gratitude when you're hanging on to resentment about others. So that was really interesting. I like that.
That's a profound thought.
Yeah. But, and we can actually get this information out to anybody if they want to contact us about that.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be putting any of the stuff that we're talking about today that we've gotten from another source, we're going to make sure we've got available on our website. And, again, because we're grassroots and I'm learning how to do some of these programs, it may take a little bit of time, but our goal is to have it on by the end of the week. So we'll do our best, and we'll keep you informed if it's going to take a little longer. I'll put a note on the website to let you know, but we won't forget about it. We won't drop the ball. It just may take more time than we're expecting. I found really, while I was doing the research for the show, I started questioning the difference between gratefulness and thankfulness. My daughter and I do new moon intentions, and she actually asked to read mine this past time. Occasionally she will, and she says, you've got a lot of, you know, I'm thankful and I'm grateful, because I write them in affirmations as opposed to wants. I do my new moon intentions that way. And I got to thinking about, you know, well, what is the difference? Because I had heard something about there was a difference, but I couldn't remember what it was that I read. And as I'm questioning this, J.R. actually let me know that a friend of ours had sent him a link to a website called gratefulness.org. And so I went to the site to check it out, and they've got a wonderful word for the day. And you all may have seen coming around on the Internet these candles. You light these candles and you pass them on, and I believe it's called One Light. You can get that started if you wanted to start one of them off of the gratefulness.org website, but they also have a word for the day, which I signed up for, and they send out something every day, and I find them helpful. Today's message was from Johannes A. Gardner, and I hope that I'm not massacring that name, but what they have written is, to speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. To enact gratitude is generous and noble. But to live gratitude is to touch heaven. And I really thought about that because I'm really big about creating heaven on earth. So that was really helpful to me this morning. That's a tool that you all might want to go ahead and utilize in helping yourself live a mindset of gratitude. But as I was exploring the website further and asking this question, what is the difference between gratefulness and thankfulness, I came across an article on the website written by Brother David Stendel Rath. And it's titled, Are You Thankful or Are You Grateful? And he starts off by describing this situation where you're looking up at the stars, and if you've ever done that on a night, you know, where you just, if there's just so many, and you've got that moment where you just get lost in that connection, and you really get a concept of just how magnificent this universe is. And it's just that second where you're just merged right there. He's describing that, and then he goes on to say, right after that, we start to say thank you. And it was really funny as I was reading this. I'm like, that's exactly what we do. You know, as soon as I feel that feeling, I start to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I'm just going to read one of the things that he says here, just a brief paragraph about what he says. It says, but let us study our focus on the second of gratefulness before thankfulness. Why do I call that wild joy of belonging gratefulness? Because it is our full appreciation of something altogether unearned, utterly gratuitous, life existence, ultimate belonging. And this is the literal meaning of gratefulness. In a moment of gratefulness, you do not discriminate. You fully accept the whole of this given universe as you are fully one with the whole. In the very next moment, when the fullness of gratitude overflows into thanksgiving, the oneness you are experiencing is breaking up. Now you are beginning to think in terms of giver, gift, and receiver. Gratefulness turns into thankfulness. This is a different fullness. A moment ago, you were fully aware. Now you are thoughtful. Gratefulness is full awareness. Thankfulness is thoughtfulness. So when I looked at that and read that, I thought that's a really good, in my mind, it was a really good explanation of the difference. Because when I am grateful, like I can feel the difference, even when I'm writing my new moon intentions, there's sometimes I put I'm thankful and sometimes I feel I'm grateful. And I couldn't discern initially what the difference was in between why I was writing them differently. And I do think it's because when I'm feeling really connected and I'm just really allowing myself to be one with the universe and one with everything else, then I am grateful. And when I'm wanting something and I'm appreciative of it, then I'm expressing it in thanks. I'm thankful for. And so I'm going to really notice that the next time I do any type of writing, and especially my new moon intentions, and just see, because the things that I'm expressing gratitude for and feeling that connection with, I'm going to kind of start watching to see how quickly they come into my life and just kind of look at that, because then I know my mind's out of the way and my heart's doing the leading on that.
You know, when you were saying, you were talking about living in that space before thankfulness, that gratitude, and I was thinking, it made me think of one of my favorite sayings by Gandhi is to be, you know, the change you want to see in the world, you know, because we lock into the negative. We see, you know, people, we get locked into the duality of and the chaos that we seem to believe is going on around us. And we're not able to come into that space until we really focus on thinking about that and realizing that that's what we want. I mean, because we want to be that change for ourselves and for others and not look outside of ourselves for that space, for that that peace that we want to reach and find. That we're only going to find that when we get into that space. Because it's as if that in that moment of gratitude, that gratefulness, when you're speaking of the stars and the universe, you know, the expansiveness of all that is, it's when you meld with that. It's almost indescribable beyond that, because you're beyond that, really. And then that's when you pour into your blessings. And that's when you really start connecting into your abundance, too, your abundance in gratitude, your abundance in health, happiness, and finances. That's when you're really becoming, you know, that living, existing co-creator in your environment.
Right. I agree with that. I really do. I do agree with that. When we hear all of the, you know, all the buzz that's out now since the movie The Secret came out and really opened a lot of doors, you know, to mm-hmm. mainstream population, you know, we're hearing all about this connection and, you know, the overwhelming message that I've been getting and have been getting for many years now is that we really are, it's about going in. And it's about being, you know, in our bodies and understanding that everything we need, all the universal wisdom is contained within each of ourselves. And when we think about gratitude as being connected to that universe and just that magnificence of what is and melding with one, and then we come to the reality understanding that every cell in our body is its own little universe, which means that the entire whole is contained millions of times over inside of our own body. So there's really no reason for us to go and look out for the answer. I mean, when we're sitting and we're centered in, the answer may show up to us from an outside source, but our looking, our seeking needs to be done from our centeredness, our connectedness within ourselves, which adjoins us with the universal wisdom. And
yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
No, I was going to say, I absolutely believe in everything that you just said, because this is where we're going to step out from the status quo, and it's very much about getting centered and connecting with yourself, because you're looking at empowering yourself. We don't want to get locked into having to live life by what such and such says. You know, it's perfectly, you know, natural to need to get information so that you can expand and grow on that. But when you can go within and know for yourself what your truth is, what your answer is, and what's good for you. Because, you know, even say Lynn and I, we lead similar paths, you know, on this journey, but there are a lot of things that work for her that don't work for me. So, you know, and that's really what you want to look into.
That's right. You know, that is very key in terms of, you know, what we were looking at and about this radio show. You know, we are finding these fantastic shows on here and on other things where you can call in and you know, they're having great readers on. And, you know, I personally have, you know, anybody that's worked with me, they know my story. I'm really big about sharing it and letting people know how I got to where I am. And because I always want to know everybody's story. How'd you get to where you are? I want to know if they've got, I'm looking for that tool in there that they use that might be helpful in my toolbox. You know, I want to know if I need to go out and get one of those for myself. So part of my story is that when I was a young kid, I was obsessed almost with psychics, and not from so much a, I need to know what my future is, but a, gosh, how are you getting this information? What are you doing? And as I really started shifting and changing, I had a lot of incredible mentors. But I was finding that, you know, they're not always readily available. And the ones that were, and God bless them, you know, I have a dear friend, Patricia White Wolf, who was incredible at being there for me. But she was my friend, and, you know, and I didn't want to take advantage of her and always call up and say, oh, what's happening? So I needed for myself to develop the ability to start to discern and understand and intuit the information that was going on. And, you know, that leads me to want to be able to help other people stand on their own 2 feet. I love teaching. I love imparting the stuff that I've learned, because I learn even more from the people that I'm imparting the wisdom from. So, you know, it is a very reciprocal venture for me. I get a lot out of it. But it doesn't do anybody, in my opinion, any good if you are constantly having to go to another person for your information. We have to trust ourselves. Even the wonderful people that I've studied with and learned from, things that work for them don't work for me, partially because they're not true for me. And it doesn't mean that they're not true in general, but we each have to learn to do our own things. And I think as we come into a place of being grateful for what we have, and really just knowing that what we have is exactly what we need in this moment, and allowing that to be enough right now, then what we do is we signal out to the universe that we're ready for the next step and we're ready for more. And that was actually true for me when I started learning to channel, and I started learning to really intuit for myself, and I started to learn how to stand on my own 2 spiritual feet. And I learned how to stand on my own 2 spiritual feet long before. I can't even say I've learned how to stand on my own 2 feet in other ways, but I am learning about my spiritual feet, because that's what works for me, and it's a solid foundation, and it's proven to be right over and over, even though it's always in change. You know, the great thing about the universe is things are always changing, and I'm learning to stay in that flexible state. And gratitude has played a huge part in that for me. I've found myself over and over in the past 2 to 3 years, specifically the past 2 years, really being thankful and grateful for what I do have and the experiences that I've gone through, because, you know, I'm beginning to connect some dots and understanding why things have looked so scattered before. So it's nice when you get to that point of not only being able to be appreciative, but really being able to open up to that sense of gratitude.
You know what, Lynn? Gratitude, Sorry.
Gratitude. Hey,
gratitude.
Gratitude.
I'm glad that I'm focusing on my gratitude because it's really changed my life. But, you know, the great thing is when we've really focused on this for a while and made a lot of changes in our life, that's great. But you know what? And I know there's some of you out there who are thinking, you know what? Y'all don't have my bills, you know. I can barely make my rent this month, let alone get enough food on the table for myself and the kids. Not to mention that they're wanting checks at the school for back-to-school pictures. And, you know, every time I turn around, it's something. And my car broke down the other day, so now I'm trying to get away to work. And that, for some reason, that's just all I can see. And sometimes what I found that has worked for me personally in my life when, you know, if something hectic or chaotic is going on, it's just, and Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks have a book out called Asking and Is Given. And in some of their work, what they talk about is, okay, if I'm in that state, because it's hard sometimes to get from that chaotic state to, you know, utopia, you know, in a New York second. So just take it, just find that one little thing and focus on it. Just try and close your mind off to everything and just focus on, you know, that flower. You know, just be grateful for that being in this space in this moment, okay? Just enjoy that brief moment and kind of expand on that when you can. Enjoy that. Think of a happy thought, you know, and expand on that, you know, and then take it to another level. Bring in another thought. What else can I be happy for? You know, I'm breathing really well today. You know, I'm finding peace in this moment. I'm finding peace in the fact that I'm not the only one that's like me in my world. There are other people that are thinking along the same line that, you know, the way that things are or were, it's just, for some reason, this just shouldn't be, you know? And it's learning to stretch, you know, and get out of that little box that I have locked myself into.
Right. I have to say that there are days where I struggle to find that happy thought. I mean, you know, I get very moody. I can be a very moody person, and you know, I happen to, you know, I'll look around, there'll be plenty of things I can be happy about, you know, in retrospect, but in that moment, I'm caught up in that kind of feeling. And for me, I have to let that feeling pass through. And if it's nice enough, I usually need to step outside and let the sunshine hit me. If it's not nice or it's really freezing cold, I'll get even madder if I go outside and have to be cold because I don't like to be cold. So for me, what I have to wind up doing is really reaching to some simple stuff. Hey, I got out of bed today. Okay, well, maybe I'm not overly excited about that because some days I'm not excited about that. You know, I have my off days. But I do. I can usually, you know, I'll try to find, you know, my kids and, you know, find something to do with them and move into to looking at their world. My daughter is fantastic about finding beautiful things to share. And, you know, sometimes it takes me a long time to get out of that. And that's what, you know, when I'm looking at, like with Esther and Jerry Hicks, I've read that book as well. That technique to me is not as helpful because I need something to move me into a place of being able to appreciate something. I actually have found, for me, Catherine Ponder has been a huge help because, you know, she is always, you know, talking about just the wonders, and she puts it in a religious context. She's a Unity minister, so it has kind of a Christian flair to it. But she talks about tithing and she talks about affirmations. And I do find that if I can find something, you know, I take that combination of Esther and Jerry Hicks of finding something I'm appreciative of and an affirmation from Catherine Ponder, and I'll combine the two. And if I can just run that program a little bit and start moving in, and I always try to find something I can do to give. So even if it's just a couple of minutes where I take I rearrange my schedule, I try to find something to give to somebody. I'll look for something on the internet that I can send to a friend, or I'll call up a friend and try to give, you know, give them something. But for me, it's about moving, moving myself into a place of showing the universe that I'm willing to move past that point, to move that energy some, and let different energy come in. And so what I guess I'm saying out of that is, don't be afraid to put a couple of different combinations of stuff together. And, you know, I always want to ask some of these motivational speakers, are you always happy? You know, 24/7, are you always happy? And most of them will say, you know, they're happy a lot of the times, and they've really done that. And I look at that and say, well, you know, it's easy to be happy when you've got everybody taking care of yourself. And the truth of it is, it's really not true. You know, I mean, because our happiness doesn't come from outside of us. Our sense of gratitude doesn't come from outside. It really, again, boils down to coming back and being connected with what's inside of us, what's right for us, and what works for us. Things that work for my siblings don't work for me. I am not happy in the same situations that they are. And, of course, you know, we're siblings. We were raised in the same house. You know, things that make my friends happy are not necessarily the same things, certainly not all of the things, that make me happy. So I think that being able to live in a state of gratitude is really also about being able to be comfortable with your own individual perspective.
That's, you know, that's awesome, because that's a great way to look at it, because we're so diverse. And you're talking about how unique individually that we are. And that's part of our expansion, our growth, is realizing that difference in each other, because then we're more apt to expand and grow in our thought on our, not only our perception of gratitude, but, you know, expressing that and how grateful we are to others. Because then, you know, you're creatively, you create within yourself this passion and this drive to want to share this joy and this gratefulness, you know, this whole attitude. I mean, gratitude is an attitude, you know. The key is to get into it as a way of life and sharing and expressing that with others. And, you know, and my philosophy is, you're never too young to start. I mean, I do this with my daughter. When I drop her off to school, it can be pouring down rain. I remember the first few times it was pouring down rain in the storm, and I'm like, okay, baby, share the sunshine. And she's looking at me like I'm nuts. But now she smiles because she knows, you know. And the key is sharing, and that's a wonderful key, is to be sharing it with, you know, our youth, you know. And they're not having to be learning it, among other things, you know, when they're 40 or, you know, 50, you know, like we are.
Right. I think, you know, as adults specifically, we forget how to receive. And I think you have to allow yourself to receive in order to be able to live in a state of gratitude. I don't think that it's really possible to be connected without receiving, because the balance of life is all about that symbiotic ebb and flow. So you're giving and you're receiving. You know,
I think do you think that gets into our self-worth?
I think, yeah, to some degree, our self-worth, our self-esteem, our...
wondering if we're, I mean, or do we, are we, you know, good enough? I mean, is it, you know, am I able to receive?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think some people mistake taking as the same thing as receiving.
Yeah.
You know, they, oh, well, I'll take this, or if I give this, then I'm expecting something back. So that's not quite the same as receiving. I've always found if I let myself look and see and receive what the universe has there, the universe always has more to give me than I could ever receive, at least at this point in my life. And I think that's one of the reasons why I look for, when I'm kind of down and out, I look for a way to give something, because, you know, it's easier to give when we're in that habit of giving. And so my intention behind that is to, you know, go ahead and give and create that vacuum. It's to move energy. I'm creating a vacuum. And I, when I remember, I do set the intention to let that go out into the universe and for me to know that all is well and for me to know that my good is coming to me. And I don't do it so much as like, you know, like maybe I'll send JR a thank you card or a little nice uplifting note. I don't do it with the intention of JR paying me back or somebody specifically paying me back. My payback is, you know, I've put a smile on somebody else's face. That's you know, enough for me. I will borrow that smile, you know, to get me jump-started from someone else. But, yeah, I do think that our sense of self-worth plays a lot into receiving. And Catherine Ponder, you know, writes a lot about, again, tithing and affirmations and just, you know, allowing your good to come in and connecting with that universal substance. And I found on evolvingtimes.com, there was an article called Understanding the Expanding Cycle of Abundance and Gratitude. And the gentleman that was writing the article was talking about, he's a life coach of sorts, and he had a client that had gotten paid. She had started a business and she had gotten paid, so she was tithing to this life coach that was writing this article. And she said, for me to do this, what I want you to do is participate in an activity with me that I read out of one of Catherine Ponder's books, and it doesn't mention the book, but I'm sure that it's probably in more than one because, like I said, she writes books, all kinds of books about different stuff, and all of the components are in each of the books, just different stories are in the different books. And she asked him to participate in a prayer where she was giving and he was receiving, and it made him an active receiver. Like he had to participate in the act of receiving and be thankful for it. And one of the rules of tithing, when you tithe 10% or whatever portion, working up to 10% of your income to your source of spiritual growth. And it's always to your source of spiritual growth, regardless of how that source shows up. I tithed to my husband one time when we were separated because I was getting my most spiritual growth from that. But it is the duty of the recipient not to reject that tithe because it shuts down the flow of abundance and the flow of prosperity for both parties. Now, we don't have control if we're tithing to someone else. We don't have control about how they receive it. But if we are a receiver of any sort, the next time you receive anything, even a smile, if you take from a stranger walking down the street, if you take that moment to be grateful that you received it and you're participating in that act of receiving, it will open up doors for you in ways that you couldn't imagine. And that is part of, again, practicing that attitude of gratitude, is just participating in the act of receiving itself, which I do think people have a challenging time with.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're at a space in your life where finances are an issue or you're really wanting more, gratitude is one of the biggest keys, or probably a better word, vibrations, to get yourself into, because vibrationally, what you're putting your thought in, what you're grateful for, the universe understands the gratefulness thought as a magnetic vibration. It doesn't understand the difference between I'm grateful for this wonderful flower in my life versus grateful for all this chaos and drama. It's whatever our thought is on, or whatever our thought in that moment is on, is what the universe is going to give us more of.
Right. And, you know, because thankfulness and gratefulness are similar energies, one is just more universal in nature and one is more thoughtful, if we are being thankful, like if we're practicing being thankful for things, then, you know, there's nothing wrong with faking it until you make it, you know, because energy follows thought and thought directs energy. So if we can think thankful thoughts, then that will help move us into a grateful attitude.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, even if the day is miserable, like you said earlier, just find that one thought that you can be grateful for, and then you'll start seeing more. It'll start a positive snowball effect,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear back, you know, from anybody who's out there listening, either if you wanted to call in or write in on the chat, or if you wanted to send us an email. I'd love to hear some of y'all's ideas and some of the things that y'all do, you know, either while we're still on the show, which would be wonderful, or, you know, later. Because, you know, people really, we're all in this world together, and you never know what's going to help somebody over a hump. I mean, you just never know what little thing is going to be that turning point. They might have heard the same story over and over and over again, but your way of expressing it, your story in and of itself, may be the one that connects with them. And it just may, you know, it may make all the difference in somebody's life. So, you know, again, this show is for you. It's about you. We want it to be about you. We're picking topics just because it's brand new and starting off, but we really want this to be an interactive venture for all of our listeners. So don't hesitate to put your two cents in anywhere along the line.
You know, I'm really excited that we picked gratitude for our topic today, because it just has been really meaningful for me this morning, I tell you. You know, I have a class that I attend on Monday nights, and like I mentioned earlier, I have a 9-year-old daughter, so I was waiting for the person to get here who was going to stay with her while I was at class, and it's like a couple minutes before my class starting, and this person isn't even here yet, so I'm calling, and it's like, but because of my gratitude in life and focusing, you know, probably the last 24 hours, I probably had focused my thoughts been on gratitude because of the call, this call. And I just wasn't in that space of, you know, being reactionary negatively. And, you know, you just see a different smile on someone else's face. And that's really what, you know, gratitude does, is it not only changes our perspective on life, you know, when we're grateful for, you know, our life and everything in it, but we see other people in a different light. When we start to focus more this way, instead of counting, you know, all their faults and their mistakes and their issues, you know, or, wasting all that time and the drama, we start to formulate, you know, new thoughts and move forward. And we see ourselves quickly moving past, you know, an instance, and forward into clean, you know, every we go from this moment into a next moment with a clean slate. We get past it quicker, smoother, easier. And then the next thing you know, your whole life is that. I mean, you're living a wonderful, beautiful life, you know, effortlessly, you know, and easily moving forward, growing and expanding, you know, in this thought. And you see yourself in that flow, you know, that whole gratitude of attitude with ease and peace. And then the next thing you know, you've got people telling you that, you know, what are you doing? I mean, you just look so, you know, you just look so calm and peace, you know. Everywhere you go, you see this, you know. What are you doing? It's like you talk about a stress reliever, you know. Yeah, I was seeing someone, you know, I saw someone last night, and I'm like, you know, she just looked so beautiful. She just had this glow, and it's because, you know, she just has that inner peace. I know that, you know, she works on meditating and stuff, and she was just really beautiful to me. And when we release and let go of all that negative, and we're focused on the happiness and the gratitude, we come across with a, you know, a whole new light about us. You know, what do you think about that?
I agree. It's about shifting the energy. And JR and I had an experience this morning where JR's internet's down. We weren't able to share like some of our last minute stuff, you know, in terms of being able to print it out and look together. So we were really very much grateful to the universe that, you know, we followed this wisdom and we went with gratitude as our first show here, because it had already set the mood for us to be able to just be like, everything's okay.
Yeah, I was all in my piece this morning.
I know. Yeah, I know. There's nothing like calling up your partner to, you know, to prepare, and that sound on the other end of the voice is like not the voice tone you really wanted to hear. But he's holding it up.
I believe my words to where you were, yeah, stay calm, it'll be okay.
It was a good day. So we've had Lou send in that what Lou does to help him move into an attitude of gratitude is he gets in his car and he pops in his party tape and he drives with the music cranked up and the windows down. And that is a fantastic way to do it. I couldn't agree more. I love to do that. Certainly, you know, when things are getting hectic around my house and I just need a breather, if I can get in my car and drive, and especially because I live in the country, so, you know, even just a short drive for me is just a huge energy shifter. It changes everything. You know, that's a great, it's a great technique. It's a great tool. And, Lou, thank you so very much for sharing that, because I had actually forgotten about it, yeah. You wonder how teenagers and kids can get over stuff so quick. Well, it's, you know, because they're constantly riding around. Once they get their cars, they're constantly riding around listening to music with the windows down. And even before, they're always listening to music. You know, teenagers are really listening to a lot of music all the time. And young kids, you know, doing the same thing. My daughter is really big into the music scene in her preteen years. So thank you, Lou, for sharing that. But, I think that, you know, gratitude is, it's a really incredible thing. And when you think of how we really are all connected, if you live in the house with other people and one of the people in your house is kind of down or in a grumpy mood, it can affect everyone. But if just one person really refuses to buy into that mood, it really can shift the person out. Either that or, like they talk about in The Secret, and some of the other, you know, movies where they're talking about, you know, law of attraction, that person that needs to stay in that grumpy space will move out of that space. You know, that you're just not in the same place. One of the things when I was on gratefulness.org, and I do have quite a few different websites that I was running around on, but gratefulness.org was really an incredible link to a lot of these other ones. I came across got linked in to another site, and it's Kanji, KANJI.org. And on there, it's this thing, a village of 100 people. If we looked at the world as a village of 100 people, and this is something I've seen go around the Internet before, so this isn't anything new, but I did want to remind you of what it says. It says, if we could shrink the Earth's population to a village of precisely 100 people, with all the existing human ratios remaining the same, it would look something like this following. And to read this again at this time when I'm researching gratitude was really profound for me. It says, there would be 57 Asians, 21 Europeans, 14 from the Western Hemisphere, both North and South, 8 Africans, 52 would be female, 48 would be male, 70 would be non-white, 30 would be white, 70 would be non-Christian, 30 would be Christian, 89 would be heterosexual, 11 would be homosexual, 6 people would possess 59% of the world's entire wealth, and all 6 would be from the United States. 80 out of this 100 now, would be living in substandard housing. 70 would be unable to read. 50 would suffer from malnutrition, 1 would be near death, 1 would be near birth, 1, and it says yes, only 1, would have a college education, and 1 would own a computer. That is just amazing to me. When you think, it really put in perspective, wow. I started looking around my house going, you know, I don't have the biggest house in the world. I don't have a lot of expensive furniture. You know, I don't have a lot of the frills. I'm really a pretty simple, you know, living type of person. But, wow, I have got a lot. I've got a lot. You know, I have got a lot to be thankful for. And it does go on to say, when one considers our world from such a compressed perspective, the need for both acceptance, understanding, and education becomes glaringly apparent. So we really do, you know, we really do need to stand, and we're getting a wow on the chat now. We really do need to understand that, you know, we may not know most of the people in the world on a first name basis or even have seen their face, but we're not any different from anybody. You know, the misfortunes of one could easily be our misfortunes. The fortunes of another could easily be ours. It really is all sharing. And as we're moving from one way of living into another, and all this stuff that's going on in the world, I'm just going to keep it as summed up in the word stuff that's going on in the world. All of this is really about shaking loose these old ideas of separation and individuation and coming to understand that we're a collective one. We're an individual perspective of the collective one. And, you know, Neil Donald Walsh has that great children's story about the little son, which he's been sending out on, you know, his daily messages of inspiration. And it's just incredible. We really are all one, and we are an integral part. We're no more special or no more worse or no less than any other part that's out there. So be thankful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have, and share that with everybody. You know, I mean, put a smile on your face when you're walking down the street. Even if you're in a grumpy mood, look for somebody with a smile. Look for a kid that's playing. Do anything that can help shift your mood into an attitude of gratitude, because by you shifting and you taking that responsibility, you're vibrationally triggering another person to do that. And it doesn't matter if that person's right in your same proximity. Somewhere, someone in the world will respond to that. And it won't be just someone. It'll be, you know, a multiple of someone. And each one of those that shift will again trigger another multiple. And before you know it, as we keep working on this, we've triggered the entire world. And the universe is a changed place. And it all comes down to us. So.
Wow. I'm like, girl, now we're getting into a mass awakening, and this is going to be another call.
We are.
That's a perfect, you know, spot to really end this, because we're actually, you know, getting close to the top of the hour, and I want to be able to take a moment to say, yes, we actually have a lot more on gratitude we can share, and we'll have to probably do another gratitude, you know, session down the road sometime. But I really want to thank, you know, everyone who has, you know, actually been emailing and calling in about, you know, future shows and stuff, and expressing their gratitude that we're actually stepping out and opening up and sharing a resource or a community that where we can all come and gather and share and expand and grow together. And Lynn, I definitely want to say thank you, and I'm honoring you at this very moment for, you know, dragging me in and this co-hosting and actually opening up to share this with everyone that's involved.
Well, thank you, JR. I truly love JR. He's one of my favorite people in the entire world. I knew it from the moment I met him. And I knew that we would do great things together. So I couldn't think of anybody that I would really appreciate more in doing this venture. We think alike. We do things alike. We get along well. He's supported me wholeheartedly through this, you know, and being one of my heart's desires. Whew, I'll get all choked up. It is very much, you know, he's just a godsend in my life. So I do appreciate that. Remember that our website is www.thehonoringhour.com. We'll have stuff on there. Bear with me. I'm grassroots, doing it myself, teaching myself as we go, and trying to run a family and do all kinds of other stuff at the same time. But I promise to keep it as up to date as I possibly can. Our next show was next week. It's April 7th at 11 o'clock a.m. on Eastern Time. It will be with Tom Wallison talking about the Master Cleanse. He is a 30-year expert in this, so we hope that you'll join us for that. I want to thank the listeners for joining us today and, you know, listening to our discussion on gratitude and for sending in some information. I also want to thank Dana and Ariana Agnellini because we have chosen their song, One Light at a Time, to be our theme song for this year and possibly beyond. And I'd like to thank them by sharing their song in its entirety at this time. So, again, thanks for joining us on the Honoring Hour. We look forward to talking with you next week and hearing from you again. Here is Ariana Agnellini singing Dana's song, One Light at a Time. Listening to One Light at a Time, sung by Ariana Agnellini, written by her father, Dana Agnellini. It's the title track off of his album, One Light at a Time. Thank you so much for joining us today on our discussion on gratitude. Please join us again for the Honoring Hour at 11 a.m. Eastern Time when Lynn, myself, JR, my co-host, are having Tom Wallison on for the Master Cleanse. Here is to wishing you an absolutely incredible day. Thanking you so much for joining us and being with us. We love you all. God bless you.